the study today is about the Scriptures, and I do believe that the Bible is still and always will be the Word of God. And I want to look at some of the truths about that today. And if you have your Bible or you want to read along, the Scriptures should be on the screen as well. But John, as he finishes the Gospel of John, kind of tells the reason why he wrote and gives us a little bit of insight into the purpose of the writing of his gospel. And so in kind of concluding, it says, Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples. And if you read the Gospel of John, the story of how he was there in the beginning, and the stories of the feeding of the 5,000 and all of those things, but especially the death and the burial and the resurrection. He says, many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. And John wrote so that we could know and believe and have life. Over in the gospel, or in the book of Romans, Paul's letter to the Romans, toward the end of that great book of the Bible, he also talks about part of the purpose of writing and the purpose of the Scriptures. And so Romans 15, verse 4, it says, "For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through endurance and the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope." And so the Scriptures written that we might have encouragement and hope and endurance. In Isaiah, he writes, "The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord endures forever." I want to ask you a simple question. Can you believe everything you read? No. Not really. I'm sure you were going to say that, right? Like that thing on the internet that said they were developing this tranquilizer dart gun for parents so that they could put their children to sleep pretty quickly. And that sounds like a sort of a good idea, but there isn't one actually being developed or approved by the FDA. So don't look for that anytime soon. Or maybe you've heard the rumor that Twinkies have a shelf life of 7 years, but according to the manufacturer, it's 25 days, which really isn't bad for baked goods. And I probably have to confess, I've probably eaten some that were older than 25 days. But there are things that we can't believe when we read them. If you read things on the internet, number one, there is no quality assurance when it comes to information found on the internet. There is nobody that's checking that. Anybody can post anything, true or not. And in most cases, the information found on the web has not been checked for accuracy. If you're reading the internet, not all websites are created equal. They differ in quality and purpose and bias. So can you believe everything you read? No. And sometimes, whether it's in the newspaper or in the media or especially Facebook, any of those kinds of things, there are a lot of things that we have discovered are not necessarily reliable. We even had initially some great trust in our FDA and the people who would get up and tell us what was going on with COVID, but now even poor Dr. Fauci has kind of fallen in disrepute at times. And so who do you trust and who do you believe? And the same questions obviously are asked about the Bible. Can I trust it? Can I believe it? Is it true? Is it reliable? Many people are doubtful, and especially in a generation where there are so much fake news and internet scams and the doctoring of pictures, and there's so much things that are on misbelief. What about the Bible? Well, I believe the Bible is accurate. I believe that it's one of those things that we can trust with its accuracy. It has been checked for accuracy by thousands and thousands of people. If you do any kind of study at all, you discover that, of course, there are no original copies of the writings. Most of the writings were done on papyrus. At the beginning of the Christian era, they went from scrolls to what are called codices, or C-O-D-I-C-E, books. They were paper that was, and the papyrus was that reed that grew along the side of the rivers and pressed into paper and so forth, but though original writings, but we do have copies of manuscripts that date within 20 years of the original writings of some of the epistles and portions of the Gospels that date clear back to 125 to 150. They are within a generation or two of the original. There are extensive studies and examinations of manuscript portions that have been done, and comparisons that reveal that as you look at the thousands of copies of manuscripts, the difference between one and another is so minimal that you begin to see the message there has been greatly preserved. And due to the discovery of older manuscripts within the last 100 years, the New Testament has become even more reliable. Frederick Kenyon is a renowned paleographer. Do you know what a paleographer is? I had to look that one up. That's a person who studies ancient writings, and so they have the ability to read original language and also to discern, because handwriting in those days might have varied a little from one person to another. So he was a renowned paleographer and a textual critic who would compare one document against another and evaluate the accuracy of those translations. He says, "The Christian can take the whole Bible in his hand and say without fear or hesitation that he holds in it the true word of God, handed down without essential loss from generation to generation throughout the centuries." Scholars have examined the Bible, hundreds and hundreds of scholars over many years, especially since the mid-1800s, when the age of rationalism came in and there were all kinds of things that began to cause skepticism, including the origin of the species by Charles Darwin and some of those others that began to question and doubt the accuracy of the Bible. And since then, even in the last century, hundreds of manuscripts have been discovered and found and are used to verify that what we have is valid and trustworthy. If you ever want a little bit of extra reading, or you want to know more, you might just read the preface of your Bible, the pages that explain to you the process that's taken place in the interpretation of your Bible. And whether you're reading the New International Version or maybe one of the other versions, you discover all of the scholars that have been involved and the numbers of people that are there checking each other out and verifying the accuracy. And so the Bible that we have is something that's been verified and pored over by hundreds and hundreds of people. The Bible we have tells us that Jesus lived, tells us that he taught in the synagogues of Galilee, it tells us that he went to worship in the temple of Jerusalem, it tells us all of those stories of miracles and things that he did, but most of all it tells us that he died on that Roman cross, that he was buried, and that he rose again, and all four of the Gospels and the whole New Testament verifies that message. It was spread throughout the world because it changed the world and it changed people's lives. And I believe the Bible is accurate, and I believe it's something that we can know has been verified and tested through time and by people of great knowledge and ability. I believe the message is accurate. I also believe it can be trusted as true. The Bible is a message that has a truth that we need to hear. It has good news of salvation. And John, as we read just a moment ago, says, "These things are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Son of God and that you may have life in his name." And Paul, in the letter to the Romans, the first chapter, he says, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, because it is the message of salvation to those who believe." And Paul wrote to the Corinthians in chapter 15, he says, "For what I received, I passed on to you as of most important, that Jesus died, was buried, and rose on the third day." And again, we see in the scripture the truth that here is the message of God's great salvation in Jesus Christ. And the purpose of the New Testament, not only is salvation, but just tell us about Jesus, what he did, and what we can enjoy through him. And because of the Bible's message of salvation, millions of people have come to know Jesus, and lives have been changed, and the whole course of history, in fact, has been changed because of Jesus. We live in AD and not in BC. Something amazing happened right there when Jesus was born and lived and died. The whole of earth has changed because of that. The Bible is a big part of how God still changes people. It's still happening in our world, in our lives today, that the message of salvation, the reading of the Bible, changes people's lives. And so it was written for people to know the good news of salvation, written so that people could learn about Jesus, also written to correct and to warn us. And as you read some of the letters in the New Testament, there was the emergence of false prophets, people who would mix the Christian faith in with their other Greek faith or their other secular kind of philosophy. And so there were times that people, especially in the early church, that had to decide what was true and what wasn't. And so many of the letters are written in order to help early Christians discern the truth about Jesus or the teachings of those who might be trying to combine. And it's still done today. We've been reading a book, and the truth of that is that even religions that came into being before Jesus are somehow including Jesus into their religion because of the importance and the difference that Jesus made. In 2 Peter, he writes to the Christians there in that part of the Middle East in modern day Turkey. He says, "We also have the prophetic message as something completely reliable, and you will do well to pay attention to it as to a light shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your heart." So we need to pay attention until we see Jesus face to face. And he says, "Above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation of things." It's just not his opinion about things. That prophet isn't just saying what he thinks God wants you to say or to hear. But he says, "For prophecy never had its origin in the human will, but prophets, though human, spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. But there were also false prophets among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you. They will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the sovereign Lord who bought them, bringing swift destruction on themselves. Many will follow their depraved conduct and will bring the way of truth into disrepute." And so the warning, and part of the message of the Bible, of course, is the warning. I believe in the Bible. I believe it is true. I believe it's accurate. I believe it's written to show us the way of salvation and to show us that Jesus is still in the process of changing the world and lives. And I believe that the Bible, as we read it, inspires people. It inspires us with light and wisdom and hope. And so the psalmist, he wrote, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear?" Or the psalmist in Psalm 1 says, "Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked or stand in the way of sinners or sit in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And on his law he meditates day and night. He'll be like a tree planted by streams of water." And those who read the scriptures and those who apply it to their lives are like that tree that flourishes because of the water. Peter encourages us. He says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." The Bible inspires with hope and wisdom and light, and it inspires us with peace and comfort. And when you stand at the grave of the loved one, or when you're going through that trying time and you open the scriptures and you read, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures," you enjoy that comfort of the scriptures. You go through that time of difficulty or that funeral service and you read, when Jesus said, "I go and prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place, I will come back and receive you to myself, that where I am, you may be also." And there's peace and comfort as we read the scriptures. And some of the hardest times of life, the best place to go is to your Bible. I believe the Bible gives us assurance of what we believe. It helps us to be confident of that. And so Jesus' words, we teach that verse to the littlest of children, "Whosoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life." And the scriptures say, these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Son of God. There was a story of some seminary students. They were playing basketball in a nearby gymnasium at the school, and as they were playing, the custodian had finished his job, and he was kind of sitting them, watching them play, but also had opened his Bible and was beginning to read the Bible, and the students finished their basketball game, and they went over to this custodian and asked him what he was reading, and he said, "Well, I'm reading the Bible." And they said, "Well, what are you reading in there?" And he said, "Well, I'm reading the book of Revelation." And they asked him, "Do you understand what you're reading? If you understand Revelation, you understand quite a bit." But this custodian said, "Yeah, I know what it means. It means Jesus is going to win." And the truth of the Bible, the assurance that comes as we read that. Many have found it to change their lives. The Bible brings change and it brings conviction. And that's why in many countries it's banned, because the governments realize that those who read the Bible began to give their allegiance to a higher power, and that there is a God who is above those governments. And so many of them have banned the Bible because in their perspective it's kind of a rebellious, kind of a insightful kind of book. And it does. It changes people's lives. Some have been killed by the king or the government for translating it into their native language. And you can read stories even in England or other places of people burned at the stake because they tried to make the Bible readable to common folks. There are many who have found it to change their life in a positive way. People who have broken or who are struggling or going through difficult times, and they open the Bible and they begin to read and they discover that it makes sense and it's something that they can depend on and rely on, and they find strength. It changes people. And I think it changes them a lot. Let me ask you a question. If you were driving your car through a big city in a rather questionable neighborhood, car broke down, and you're sitting there trying to decide what to do when out of the alley come 10 burly guys, would it make a difference if they were carrying a Bible? Of course it would. All of a sudden, somehow that symbol of the thing that changes people's lives is right there. And somehow, whether they actually read it or not, the fact that they're carrying it would sort of make us think, well, that's hopeful at least. The Bible, it does change people. Or actually, Jesus does. The Bible tells us about Jesus, and as we believe in Jesus, the thing just changes us. I believe in the Bible. I believe it is the Word of God. I believe it's there to inspire, encourage, and to teach us. And I believe that we need to listen to it with our ears and our hearts. How many of you have ever heard a mom say to their child, "Look at me when I'm talking to you. Look at me with your eyes." Something about paying attention, looking, focusing, that is important. If a child looks away when you're talking to them, or an adult, you get the impression that somehow you've lost their attention. And sometimes, to be honest, that's one of my faults, is I can look at somebody and they're talking to me and my mind is on some other tangent because I'm not really doing what I should do and being polite and listening. And guys, how many times have you been in trouble when your wife said, "What did I just say to you?" If you're like me, I say, well, so anyway, Jesus said to his disciples, "You who have ears, hear." Those who have ears, let them hear. And the parable of the seed reminds us that there are all kinds of soil in people's hearts. And some of the seeds fall on rocky ground and hard ground, but there are seeds of the gospel, of the teachings of Jesus, that can fall on good soil. And the point is, we got to listen and pay attention. And it doesn't matter if we don't apply it, we don't pay attention. And so, do you take time to listen to the messages God sends you in His Word? Do you read it during the week? Do you participate in a class or a study group or in a place where you can learn from the Scriptures? I can tell you a lot about a person by looking at his or her Bible. A few years ago, I did a funeral service for Sarah. I didn't know Sarah ahead of time. I didn't know her because her family had moved to Rochester from Kentucky and they hadn't found a church yet, and she had gotten sick in the meantime and passed away. And so I was asked to do Sarah's funeral, and not knowing her very well at all, I wondered what I might say. But her request was that she be buried with her Bible. And so as she was there in the casket, I saw the Bible, and I asked if I could just look at her Bible. And I opened and I began to see this well-worn Bible with writing and highlights, and there were all kinds of things that were written, and the little notes and the little papers that are stuck in there as well. But it was obvious that Sarah had read her Bible, and even more, that what she had read meant something, that it was important to her, and that this Bible, this message of God that contained the truth and the knowledge of salvation was part of what was most important to her. If somebody looks at your Bible, what will they see? What will they discover about you? Well, as usual, I have some assignments for you, or some take-homes or some to-dos. And so the first is, if you get anything from the sermon at all, I want to invite you to read it often. Read it often with listening ears. Have you ever read through the whole Bible in a year? Some folks do that, and this year, if one of the pluses of modern times is you can even listen if you want to on your phone or your app or whatever it might be, and sometimes that's a good thing. And if you're reading the Bible for the first time, when a person first gives their heart to Jesus, I don't encourage them to read front to back. In a normal book, of course, you do that. You read because it's all in some kind of chronological order, but the Bible isn't written that way. The Bible's more like a library. If you go to the public library, there's the nonfiction section, and there's the gardening section, and there's the kids section, and so the Bible is a collection of different books, and it's arranged in sections. The law is the first five books of the Old Testament, the rules and the laws of their life, and then there's some history of the development of the nation of Israel, and so the next part is that, and then there are the Psalms and the Proverbs and the poetic literature, and then after that the prophets and the major prophets of Isaiah and Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and then the minor or the smaller books of prophecy, and the New Testament the same way, the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and in that section, and then there's the book of Acts that tells us about the development of the church and how it spreads throughout the world, and then the letters that were written by those early disciples, whether it's Paul or Peter or John. And so read the New Testament first and get to know Jesus and understand what the main character of the Bible is, and then you go from there and discover more and more. And so you read not for some kind of chronological story, but you read the sections. And so you read the Gospels and you read the letters and you read the Psalms and the Proverbs to teach you and to give you wisdom. But read it, and read it often. The Word of God still works today, and the Holy Spirit and His gentle whisper encourages us as we read it. And so I invite you to read the Bible and read it with listening ears. The second thing I want to teach you is to apply those teachings or those principles. Apply them to your life. That this gospel is written for us to know Jesus and to have that salvation, to believe. And so make sure you do that. Invite Jesus into your life and to be your Savior and to have that salvation that comes to those who believe. Or the wisdom, as you read the Proverbs or you read the Scriptures, add that wisdom to your life. There are times that we're encouraged to be faithful even when we're discouraged, or we're to forgive even when it's not easy to forgive, or we are to seek first the kingdom of God. And so you apply those wise teachings. The Bible says, draw near to God and He will draw near to you. So apply those things. And thirdly, just enjoy the results of having that walk with Christ, the blessings. And the psalmist said, He will be like a tree planted by streams of water. It bears fruit in season. And the Word of God, as we listen and we read and study and apply it, it makes a difference. It makes life better, and it makes life more understandable, and it helps us to have meaning and purpose and realize that God has a plan for us. There's comfort for those who are struggling. Last spring, for example, we were applying the truth about being anxious for nothing, and we were learning how to be thankful and how to praise God in all circumstances and those kinds of things. We apply those and we find comfort. There's hope that we can enjoy. One of the blessings of the Scriptures is the hope that we find as we read and that there's more to come. The old custodian that realized that we win, that Jesus wins. There's hope there. And so the Scriptures written that we might have hope, that we might believe, that we might know that Jesus is the Son of God, and that we might have life in His name. There's everlasting life for those who trust themselves to Him and live that life of surrender. Let's pray together, shall we? Our Father and our God, we are not people who worship the Bible. It is not our God or our idol. You are God, and you are supreme over all. And yet, Lord, you've given us this great tool to get to know you and to get to understand what you're doing and this great world that you created, the beauty and the message of salvation, that we can have everlasting life as we trust in you. And so, Father, thank you for this wonderful tool that we have. And we live in a time when it's questioned. People doubt the things they read, and so do we. But God, thank you that the Bible we have has been scrutinized and verified and examined by not only skeptics, but also people who are wise and knowledgeable. And so thank you, Lord, for this word of God, this message from you that shows us how to live and how to have that life that you offer. And so teach us, Lord, to read it, and teach us, Lord, to apply it, and teach us, Father, to enjoy the messages and the hope and the blessings it gives to our lives. We praise you in Jesus' name.